Well, good morning again. Thank you very much. Appreciated all the help, not only in the folks leading us in worship, but our AV people and so forth, and for you, most of all, coming and sharing. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for, again, allowing me to kind of go down memory lane. I actually came a little bit earlier. This is what old people do. You guys are younger, you know. We go down what's called memory lane when we can still remember the lane. But I was going over to the school yesterday and just driving an hour or so and just taking pictures of where my wife went to school and the rooms that she was in, the dorm rooms, and some of the improvements, and of course just a lot of memories go flushing in and getting looked at again. And it's just a deep appreciation coming again into today's assembly, coming to this building and knowing that this is where we started our lives. It has a very good feeling about it, a very good, rock-solid, emotional blessing to it. And I guess one of the things I'd encourage other younger folks is you know, I read the book not that long ago by Andy Stanley. It's a little book called Principle of the Path. And in that, I'll remember to turn myself on here, my own now. And in that, it talks about everybody's got great visions of what they want to do with their lives. And I've done mentoring with people, and what I hear them say, I'm going, amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful dream you've got there. Your vision, it's impeccable. My question is this, what are you doing now to get there? You know, and that's the point, I guess I'd like to say, is that some of the things that we unknowingly did here at this church, we could have, for a while, we went around and church hopped. We went around and said, well, we like this or that. We decided, you know, this is where our roots is. And if we're going to be involved in helping make disciples one day internationally, let's start here and now. And it was really, really beneficial for us and really a blessing. And so really appreciate that very, very much. If you have your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads, reference and go to John chapter 14. The message today is going to be basically this, you know the way. And in this 14th chapter, Jesus has this discourse with his disciples. He's, of course, starting to prepare them. This is now into his third year of relationship with them, and it's the beginning of the end. And Jesus has this conversation with them, starting with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Now Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after all that I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his own work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Just as a parenthetical extra, I'd like to throw this. You know, we all believe in the incarnation, right? We believe that God, through Jesus, became man, Emmanuel. Well, it didn't dawn on me until I was preparing again for this sermon that there's actually a second incarnation. It's right here. Do you know what it is? God, the Father, inside Jesus. That's what Jesus says. He said, the Father is in me. I've never really thought about it. That was free. So I'll give that to you for what it's worth. But the main topic here is the fact that you know the way. You, Christian, know the way. No, Mike, I don't know the way. I haven't gone to Bible college. Yes, you know the way. No, you know, I haven't been a believer that long. So, you know the way. I was with a guy who was a phenomenal church planner by the name of Curtis Sargent recently down in Alabama. And he said something that was very, very much a keeper statement. He said these words, in order to be one who disciples other people, and by the way, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not to make converts. We're not to have them become church attenders. We're not to have them become membership into a congregation. All good. But Jesus said, go and make disciples. And Curtis Sargent said this, how do you make disciples? You basically do this one thing. You be one step ahead of the one you're discipling. You don't have to know it all or be it all. You just have to be one step ahead of the one you're mentoring. And that's why he sees phenomenal church growth and disciple making is that people are actually starting to make disciples before they themselves are even baptized. And you're going, wait a minute, how can that even happen? Well, it happens all the time in the workplace, happens all the time in the school playground, happens all the time in one older student showing a younger student, happens all the time when big brother shows little brother. It happens all the time in the disciple-making process. It's very organic. So, Christian, you do know the way. And so you as disciple, you only have to have one step ahead of the people that you're talking to. And so here we want to look at today is this element of the fact of you do know the way. So the first thing is, thank goodness we're not lost. Have any of you ever been lost? True confession, one of the most embarrassing times I've ever been has been in Kenya when I was lost with my mother-in-law. Oh, that does not go down well. She was a lovely and gracious woman, but you talk about us men, we have our pride, we have our ego, we have our hunter instincts wrapped on our backs. I mean, you know, after all, and I'm trekking through the Gatamayo Forest, taking her to this wonderful waterfall that our family had learned to love and to camp at, and I knew a shortcut. A shortcut in Africa, that's an oxymoron. You're just going to get in your troubles, you just right off the bat. And so we're going to take this shortcut, and we get to the falls all right, but guess what? When we start coming back, Mike hasn't the foggiest idea where he's going to get back to the car. And it is embarrassing. And we're crossing the same lake, little stream two or three times, and my mother-in-law slips on a rock and falls in that little stream. Now, we didn't drown. I mean, the water was on it. But again, it's my mother-in-law, and she's fallen down. And this is, now it's getting dark, and it's getting cold. And I'm so glad that I finally heard the dog howl. And I said, yes! The car's got to be close to there because I remembered the people we parked it to, they had a dog. And so the point was, I don't like to be lost. I don't think you like to be lost. And I saw several hands going up saying, yeah, I got my story too, Mike, of when we're being lost. But the world is lost, and yet Jesus and his message here to his disciples and to you and me is, and the good news is, while the world is lost, you know the way. While the world is in darkness, you know the light. Actually, you are the light. It is funny, I was remembering in Pokot years ago that I was holding a flashlight and I was walking back to our home after an event out in the bush, out in the dark with the Pokot people. And I remember very clearly holding the flashlight down and walking, and the man in his broken English said, sir, turn off your torch. Now, that's what they called a flashlight, is a torch. And so I'm going, but I can't see, you know. And he says, I can't see either. I can't see because, you know, you have the light on. And what he was meaning was, is while you're so focused on this little spot right here, yeah, your torch, your light, you can bring just a, you missed the big overall view. And I'd much rather have my eyes adapt to some of the darkness and get used to the moonlight and the stars light and be able to be seeing, able to see further and farther than just being focused on one little spot. Christian, how many times in our lives do we forget, yeah, we know the way, but we're so stuck in looking at just this little spot, something that discipline-wise God is wanting to put us through, Hebrews 12, is something that we're going through medically, is something we're going through emotionally with our spouse, and something that we're focused in, and we're trying to bring truth to that little point. We're trying to discipline our kids. We're trying to be a good parent. We're trying to be a good person in the workplace, and yet we don't look at the overall picture that we are to be disciple makers. We're to get our lives and focus off ourselves and onto the big. So turn off the light, Christian, on your own problems. And let's look at the world. Because Jesus said it's lost. And so you know the way. It's a very personal statement. You, first of all, don't be troubled, Christian, in your heart. But Mike, you don't know my story. You're right, I don't, but he does. And I can probably attest to you that I probably know people whose story is worse than your story. And that's not to make light of your story and your heartache and your journey. And I understand it's very personal. But Jesus is a very personal God and a very personal Savior who knows what you're going through. And He wants to actually, believe it or not, use what you and I are going through to help people see the way. I like what one professor at Ozark Christian College, Gordon Clymer, said years ago when he was walking with us as we were doing house-to-house evangelism and calling and praying on sick people in Africa outside of Kitale. And he said to this, it was a phenomenal statement. He said, "Mike, you know, Christians really are a great lot, but they're kind of peculiar." I said, "Amen to that. I married a nut." But the element was that he said, you know, Christians, people who aren't Christians, when they look at your lives, they're really not so interested in how you're functioning and how you're doing and what kind of light you're propelling and showing when all of life is rosy and peachy and going well. What unbeliever, what person who's lost, what person in darkness wants to go and follow you when everything is good for you? When everything is healthy, when everything is blessed, when everything is employment happy and everything is good. It's only when you go through the hard times and the light gets extinguished that then people watch and want to see, now, Christian, how do you live? Now, follower of Jesus, how do you speak? Now, follower of Jesus, do you still believe in the one and pray into the one of the all-living God that you and I don't see? He was right. The torch shines brightest. The opportunity to actually help people know who Jesus is actually doing the very hard times in life. You know the way. So child, trust in Him. That even when you feel He's abandoned you, that is probably actually the time He's actually able to do the most work through you. It goes counter to everything we feel, everything we are, everything we pray, everything we do. But then His ways are not my ways. Amen? They never have been, and they never will. You. Second point is, know. You know the way. You know. And Jesus said it very much in the personification of the incarnation. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." This element of reading out to Muslims and to Buddhists and to Hindus that I talked about during Sunday school, the element of us talking to those people that maybe are under this oppression or are in this denominational cult or whatever the case may be. You're going, man, like I said in Sunday school, that can be so judgmental. And yet, Jesus said, I don't know how much more clear you want to have Him say it. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man, no person, no other way. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Amen? That's why we're here, church. You know. So first question is, do you know Him? Now, I didn't say, do you pronounce His name properly? I said, do you know Him? I didn't say if you have a figure of Him up in your wall in your house or an emblematic element called the cross on which He died. I'm asking, do you know Him, Christian? Do you know Him? Is He someone you talk to? Is He someone you walk alongside with? Is He someone you understand how He felt in Gethsemane? Is He someone that you believe in, and that He's someone that He aches with those people that fell out of the sky in a plane, or those that are on the battlefield, or those who are being persecuted in Iraq? Do you know Him? He knows us. Only God could call a hotel that holds 1 billion people His house. Think of that for a moment. Only God could call a dead body sleeping. I like what one preacher said, you know, Jesus never preached a funeral. Only God could personally name each star. Only God could use mountains as footstools. Only God can count each bird and feed it and notice when it falls out of the sky and dies. Only God can number the hairs on our head, though they be dwindling. Only God can keep every promise He has ever made. Since the beginning of time, only God can plan thousands of years in advance on how He's going to save the world. Only God can devise a plan that is both merciful and just at the same time. It's called Calvary. Only God could love and compel His Son to come to this earth, die the kind of death He died, return to heaven, take His visiting commanding orders, visit Jerusalem again, ascend back to the throne, interceding on our behalf, and promise yet to come again. Only God's love could do that kind for his son. In the small book, Six Dangerous Questions by Paul Borthwick, and I highly recommend it because it addresses in it one of the very elements to the core that I believe is kind of chipping away at our faith as a culture here in America. I have the opportunity from time to time to lead mission trips of young people, and I love it. You know, anybody who has parents say, you know, ah, kids these days, I jump on those parents and say, ah, parents these days, because where did the kids find it? Where did the kids learn it? Where did the kids hear it? Where did the kids get it modeled? What kind of disciple have you been, parent? Because that's what the kids found out. They didn't just come out of a vacuum. And so these kids, I love them. You get them unplugged and they start getting plugged into the Word and they start memorizing Scripture and they start asking these phenomenal questions. And in there, there's a little bitty book. It says just basically six chapters with six simple questions. Number one, who is Jesus? Number two, do you believe in heaven? Number three, do you believe in a hell? That's kind of an important one. You'll find some interesting answers from young people today on that one. Number four, does Christianity matter? Number five, do you believe that God wants to use your life? Do you really believe God has a plan for your life? And number six, whose agenda is I'm going to live by? Christian, you know the way. You, number two, know. Number three, the way. Way to what? Way to whom? The followers of Jesus, after being with him 3 years, they struggled. There was two discourses by two of them that asked very, very honest, very, very profound questions in a way, questions that probably we pose in our lives very much. And Jesus, in both cases, is chagrined and saying, really, guys? Really? I have slept under the stars with you. I have done miracle after miracle. I have walked on water. I have raised the dead. I have taught you. I have cast out demons. And all of this along the way, you still don't know who I am. I wonder how he feels about me and about you and me sometimes, don't you? Really? Mike, you've known me for 30-some years and you really don't get it yet what my heart is? In terms of forgetting that person that you have this problem with? Really, Mike? You're still going to carry that grudge? Really? You're still going to worry about how if you give that kind of money, God is not going to provide? Really, Mike? You really, after all these years, don't get it? After all the miracles, after all the walking, after all the sharing, after all of me taking you through this valley and that high and that low, you still don't get it? Mike, I'm the way. And you know it. You know the way. It's not a mystery. Never has been. But it isn't simply a walk in the roses, and it's not simply a little field trip. It's a journey we know is life. I like what one missionary said, you know, life wouldn't be so bad if it just wasn't so daily. Amen to that. It's sort of like the preacher said, I'd love the church if it just wasn't filled with people, you know. But the way isn't simply a vacation either. I don't know where we picked up that idea that we as a church think this is a walk in the park. I don't know where we picked up the idea that when we have in this one of the most critically noxious, sorry if I hurt somebody here, critically noxious things that has hurt the church in America is this. What's called the health and wealth prosperity. That if you follow Jesus, you're going to be healthy, your pocketbook is going to be filled, and you're going to not suffer. Really. According to the number one disciple called the Rock, Peter, he writes a whole book on the church and get ready to rock your world. You're going to suffer. If you're worth your medal, you're going to be persecuted in the school. You're going to be persecuted in work. People are going to mock you and laugh at you and call your Jesus all kinds of names. Really? You really think that this is going to be a walk in the park and it's going to be so easy and that if you really are following God and you really have faith in Jesus that everything is going to be hunky-dory, my marriage will never struggle, my health is going to be wonderful, I'm going to walk in this wonderful body and, oh, by the way, he's going to send chariots down and pull me out. I won't even go and rot in a grave somewhere. Really? It's not biblical, people. The way is lined with lots of struggle. It's through life, like we just talked about, that when it's hard and nasty and ugly and one foot just slodging in front of the other, that it becomes life and breath and light for other people that go, my goodness, how can this person give? My goodness, how can this person pray? My goodness, how can this person still trust in a God when there's this kind of cancer and there's this kind of divorce and there's this kind of effort of whatever it is in life. And they're so faithful. And they're so genuine. And they're so generous. And they're so kind. And nothing's rocked them. I recently was doing the funeral of a man that died my age, died of bladder cancer. Very painful. I remember his wife, Barbara, and just person after person was just blown away by her ability. And she would say it over and over during the last days and during the actual death that night and during the days following when we buried Rob. She wanted to know about you. She wanted to know about your family. She wanted to know about how are your kids. And her husband is there dead. It was not about her and her grieving. It was about the community. It was about Rob's out of this pain. Rob's home. But how are you? And that's what we as a church need to be about when we show the world the way. It's not about us. Satan, kill us, persecute us, make us, rob us, cheat us, whatever you do. It's not about us. It's about Him. Amen? It's always been about Him. It's never been about me. Not my name, not my fame, not my church, not my properties. It's always been about Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things, church, will be added to you as you need them. For food and raiment, for in this world you came with none, and without them you will go back to your Father in front of the judgment seat. So we do have a purpose in life, as that little question by Paul Porthwick asked. Yes, He does have a purpose for my life. And it is not for us to simply be on a vacation, a holding pattern here in life until we go to heaven. It is not just to simply have our candle extinguished, as some may believe. Oh, we live on this world, and then after that, we're done. Our soul is finished. There is no eternity. There is no pain. It's just I'm no more. Poof, vapor. That's not true. How do you know that, Mike? Because Jesus said it's not. It's more like the way of leading a family through a jungle. It's like a missionary leading its visitors to get to the right bus through a busy city street. It's like the trackers leading my family out Mount Kenya. You know, we had this goal before we left Kenya that we were going to go to the top of Mount Kenya as a family. My wife didn't like that one because we all had to start doing training, running, jogging, walking, exercising for the 17,000 summit. And the good thing about those who knew the way was they knew the way. They didn't lead us off into the bush. They knew the way. They knew exactly when to stop and rest us. They knew the way. They knew exactly where the water was. They knew exactly where the cabin was. They knew exactly why we were getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning. It made sense to them because it was them who knew the way. And the element that was so surprising after, and we did all summit, all five of us, hallelujah, I was pushing my wife at the end of it. My kids asking as it was still dark. Again, we're out hiking, all right? It's about 20 degrees, and there's this stuff hitting them in the face, and they're going, Dad, what's this stuff? What is this? And it's totally dark. They had never seen snow, and so it was snowing, and they had no idea what was hitting their face. It was snow. And as we got to the summit, the reason we got up at 2 a.m., you know why? Because those who led us knew the way, and they knew that when we left at 2 and we walked up that summit and had that rock sliding under our feet and the snow coming on our faces, they knew it would all be worth it, because when we were done and we summited and we got to the top, we saw the most panoramic, beautiful sunrise that man has ever seen.
You know the way.
Only I'm not offering you, Jesus said, some beautiful sunrise. I'm offering you eternal life in my home. So Christian, you who know the way, who are you taking with you? Do you not want them to see more than a beautiful sunset? Do you not want them to know more than just this nomadic journey called life on earth? It is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's called eternity. Who are you taking with you? Because you do know the way. My friends, this church has had a wonderful legacy in so many ways. This morning, sitting around the breakfast table with Gary and Pat, we were going through the hall of names of this person and that couple and that family and where they're at. And so many have passed on. And they've left their marks. Oh, they're not all wonderful. And they would say, admittedly, they're not sinless. But they've gone. And they showed others like us the way. So my question to you as I close is this. Number one, do you know the way? Do you know Jesus? If not, then there's probably a conversation you need to have with me or a leader, our friend, our spouse, who does. And secondly, who are you taking with you? Oh, it's great to hold up a preacher like Kevin or a missionary like Mike and say, that's their job. They've been gifted. Oh, look how they speak. Look how they do. Oh, they're so... No. Time out. Pause. I was a farm kid who stuttered in high school. A guy who was not raised in a family that was Christian. A man who was ready to beat my father because he was beating my mother. What you see standing here isn't the Mike that could have been or should have been. It's the Mike who met Jesus the way. You know the way. Don't let Satan tell you that you don't. Don't let Satan tell you that you can't. Don't let Satan tell you you're not good enough. Don't let Satan tell you you're not smart enough, because that is a lie from hell. You do know the way. You can disciple people. You can make a difference, and you can bring many to you and with you into eternity. Yes, thank you, Jesus, that you showed us the way. Dear God, I thank you very much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for this congregation's legacy. And yes, we've had phenomenal people who've done phenomenal things through the years that have gone on because they've known the way on to glory. But Jesus, today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. And so I pray that if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as the way, Lord Jesus, that they will make that decision to change it. And finally, for all of us to be better able and willing to give an excuse for the hope that we have within us. And so, Jesus, I thank you for this church and their generosity through 33 years of supporting Carolyn and I, through their missions that they support. Like Scott has said, there's seven. We thank you, God, for each one of them. Bless their generosity. Bless their faithfulness and their giving. Bless their ability to be continuing, keep those commitments and more. And at the same time, to be an influencer, not just in this community of Hayes, but in Kansas and throughout the world. God, as you send us out of this room this week and know the way, may we take somebody with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.